312-981-7200 is the phone number. A couple school-related topics that were talked about. Arlington Heights is considering ticketing parents of chronically truant students. Now, Dan, you come from a family of teachers, and your wife obviously is a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And is truancy worse now or better? Has it changed over the years?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think I've ever really talked to her about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's different because we live in a different time where, you know, you were sent to school unless you were on your deathbed.
Right.
And, you know, now people are much more conscious of,
sure,
you've got something, let's stay home.
Yep.
You know, I know I never missed school for like a doctor's appointment. And I know now, you know, she gets like, they have this, it's at 2 o'clock, they've got to leave early. So I think it's a different world.
Yeah.
So the answer to your question is yes and no, because it's just different prerogatives and different thought patterns now than when we were going to school.
It's funny, when I went to school, I very rarely missed school. Very, very rarely. And when I went to school, they gave away, if you had like perfect attendance or something, they gave you Sox tickets. Like, you got Sox tickets. And I ended up getting a lot of Sox tickets when I was in school, because I didn't miss a lot of school. But whenever I did, it always felt weird. It just feels weird to, like, you know, at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon to not be at school. Like, I remember going to like orthodontist appointments and stuff when I had braces, and I would have to go in and have orthodontist appointments. And I'd always feel like it was a different world. Like, I'd walk outside and I'd be walking around, and it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and thinking, wow, this is just, I shouldn't be here. I'm supposed to be in school. And it always felt like I was like doing something wrong. You know, you ever skip school? No, you didn't, Dan.
I know.
I skipped school a couple of times. It was in high school, not in grade school. It was in high school. One of the times I skipped school was the day that Pink Floyd's album, The Final Cut, came out.
I remember this story.
I skipped school, so I went to Flipside, the record store Flipside, just so I could get the copy of The Final Cut by Pink Floyd and listen to it incessantly. It was my senior year of high school, and I was like, screw it, I'm not going to school today. The Final Cut's coming out. I got to get it. So, but Esmeralda, did you ever skip school?
No.
No, you were a good student as well?
No. Well, we couldn't leave, really, because they would catch you.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys have like a regular truant officer?
Yeah, but yeah. We also, like, we weren't allowed to leave campus for lunch or anything like that, so there's no reason you would be out.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't really get away with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we couldn't leave campus for lunch either at Luther North, even though there was a McDonald's three blocks away. But we had to eat lunch there. So we either had to bring our own lunch or eat the stuff that they had, you know, from the kitchen. So yeah. But I just skipped school I didn't skip out. I mean, I used to skip classes every once in a while. I would skip a class and hang out in the cafeteria.
Now, how did you get away with that? Because
the teacher's going to see you like later that day.
Well, just
in the hallway or something.
I mean, you know, because the way that our schools were associated, like, obviously you had to call it in that you were going to be absent. So if they don't receive a notification at the beginning of the day that you're out, they go look for you,
right?
Because they're fearing the worst.
Because you're a child,
right?
Right. Well, I don't really in high school. I would just there was no call or anything. Like, if you would, you know, I don't think there was a call at all. I don't think we had.
How big were your class sizes?
They weren't big. There was only when I went to Luther, the entire school, freshman to senior, when I went to Luther, 700 kids total. So they weren't big. You were talking 20, 25 kids. That's a pretty good sized class, I guess. But I guess 20, 25 kids at the max would be in class. But I'm not really sure, because in high school,
I know that you're, you know, the gym teacher would just show or the religion teacher just showed Jesus Christ Superstar for 3 weeks.
Godspell was a big one too. But, you know, but no, it was funny because, like, you'd have to come in with a, you know, with a note from your dentist or your doctor or whatever, and you'd go into the dean's office and they would write it and they'd be, make it official if you were going to miss a good, if you were going to miss a portion of school because you had a, like in my case, an orthodontist appointment because, you know, that's, I went in the afternoons. It was the only time I could go. And you'd have to go to the dean's office and they would have it signed. But, like, just not going into school, I don't think, I don't remember if we called, like if my parents called or if I called or whatever and said, I'm sick, I'm not coming in. Grade school, that's a thing. I remember we had to like have an excuse or a note from our parents or whatever. And also with the school that I went to in grade school, you were allowed to skip school on opening day at Wrigley. If the next day you came back with a ticket stub. That was because it was so close, you know, the school I went to was so close to Wrigley and kids were going to, you know, everybody in that neighborhood, we all lived in that neighborhood. Everybody was a Cubs fan and we lived so close to Wrigley. And at that time you could go on opening day, you know, and not worry really about it being, you know, it might be sold out, but it's not like today where you can't go to a single game without having a ticket ahead of time. But they actually did have that at Hamilton School. They said,
"That's funny.
You can take opening day off. And you're excused if you bring proof that you went to the game, if you bring a ticket stub back from the game." And we did it all the time. But they wouldn't allow you to skip school to watch the game at home. Because you'd have to come in and prove that you went to Wrigley to see the game. Which is just one of the weird things. I don't know. Clearly, they don't do that now. You know, but I don't know how they got away with it, you know, in the 70s. I'm not really sure how they got away with it in the 70s, but that was like a bylaw, not a bylaw, but it was an understanding. It was like, look, these kids are Cub fans. If they want to go to the game, you know, opening day in that neighborhood was a big deal. Opening day at Wrigley was a really big deal. Still is. But if you live in that neighborhood or if you lived in that neighborhood at that time, it was a big deal, especially if you're a kid and especially if you're a Cubs fan. So that was... That was just a weird thing that was just exclusive to Hamilton, where I went to grade school. but yeah, I'd skip classes here or there, or I'd skip out early. You know, I mean, you know, I've told you what a terrible student I was in high school,
right?
I mean, I coasted by, man. I graduated high school with a 2.2 grade point average. I mean, I was terrible. It was terrible. And of course, the dumbest thing I ever did, I've told you this before, was for some reason I thought I should take trig. And I dropped out. I dropped out like after a couple of weeks. I was like, yeah, no. And I took wood shop. I went back or metal shop, wood shop or metal, one of them. I replaced, like, I can't, I'm not going to do trig. And the teacher was like, don't, you know, like he agreed. The teacher was like, yeah, you should not take this class. You're an idiot. Go build something with wood. So, but I didn't skip a ton of school, but I know a lot of kids that did. And so I guess Arlington Heights is considering ticketing parents for chronically truant students. This is out of the Chicago Tribune. Described as a last resort method to combat rare cases of chronic student truancy, officials in Arlington Heights are supporting a proposal that would involve police officers ticketing parents who allow their children to skip school without a valid reason. District 25 is coming to you and asking for your help for those 10-year-olds and 7-year-olds. I can see their faces, and I've been in their homes, Arlington Heights School District 25 Superintendent Lori Bean said this past Monday. We need one more tool because we see them stuck, and we need one more thing to help us wrap our arms around them. Trustees appear to be overwhelmingly in favor of amending a village ordinance that allows police officers to ticket truant students by expanding the scope of the law to include parents and legal guardians. The citations would target adults who enable their minor children to habitually miss school, resulting in poor academic performance and behavior problems. In addition to a possible fine ranging from $5 to $750, the parents and guardians would be required to attend an administrative adjunction hearing. A setting that officials said would be less prohibitive for struggling families than a visit to the Cook County Courthouse in Rolling Meadows. Since 2015, the village's police department has issued 40 citations to truant students, but there is no recourse in the code for the parents, village manager Randall Reckless said. This is an effective last resort tool to ensure that parents will be sending their kids to school as required by law. I think this makes sense. You know what I, you know what I'm saying? If you got a 10-year-old at home and you let them stay and you don't have them go to school, you something should be done to you. If you allow your 7-year-old to not go to school or your 10-year-old to not go to school. I think that makes sense. Now, Dan, did you guys have like one truant officer?
Yes. Well, a defiant officer.
Well, I mean,
a school administrator? Or?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, truant officer is not. It's not a law term. I mean, that's what they call. Do they still call them truant officers?
Right.
They don't necessarily have to be associated with the police or anything like that.
There are schools that have those. Mm-hmm. But for us, no, it was Mr. Buscarini.
Okay. I'm trying to remember if we had, I don't know in high school, because I went to school a lot longer ago than you did, so the memories are not as sharp. But I'm trying to remember if we had, in grade school, I think we had two truant officers. I went up to a Chicago public school, so do they have assigned truant officers?
Well, there's members of the police force
who go out and do that. Yeah,
specifically for that. Just like there are members of the police force who are assigned to be crossing guards.
Right. Got it. Okay. So, this brings up another thing here. You know, Dan, obviously, you and Esmeralda were good students. You went to school all the time. Were you always on time as well?
I was, yeah.
Yeah, I never had... thankfully, despite some adventures on the CTA bus, I always managed to make it in time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's true, because you can't help it if the bus isn't on time.
Right.
You know? I mean, I had to take two buses to get to Luther North. It was a pretty good ride, because I lived, obviously, by Wrigley at that time. And Luther North is like at Irving and Central in that area. So it was a pretty long bus ride to get there. Two CTA buses to get there. Now, Esmeralda, you were in the neighborhood, right? Did you have to take public transportation?
Yeah, there was a school bus.
A school bus?
Mm-hmm. That would come. So if that wasn't, if I missed that bus, I wouldn't be going to school that day. Because my mom doesn't drive, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you had to get out there to get to the bus.
Yes.
And was the bus usually on time?
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't have Otto as your bus driver? No.
No.
No. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, and then being late to school is another thing, but I just wanted to talk about that, being late in general. Now, Esmeralda, you get V is the one who's always running late, right?
I say he is, yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You say he is. I dated and was married to a couple of people who were chronically late all the time. Like, it would just be, because I'm early or on time everywhere I go. I'm very, 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 very rarely late. So I'm early to on time everywhere I go. But when you're with someone who's constantly late, it's kind of, it's aggravating. So... we can talk about that at a different time here. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back. 312-981-7200. Did you guys skip school when you were younger? Were you ever truant? 312-981-7200. Let's talk a little school stuff here. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here. 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Wednesday. Wildcard Wednesday continues. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. And that was an 815 request for Sid Vicious, his version of My Way. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Esmeralda and I will compete in another For the Record. You get to hear Esmeralda sing. Skip Skipley is on the way. That's coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about being late or truancy in school. And Arlington Heights has been reported, it's been reported in the Chicago Tribune that Arlington Heights is considering ticketing parents of chronically truant students, which seems to be a good idea. Because if you're a parent and you're letting your 10-year-old stay home from school a lot, that's not good. And, you know, there should be some sort of punishment for that, we're thinking. So, and that was reported in the Chicago Tribune. Then we're talking about skipping school, being truant, being late. 312-981-7200. Here's Trucker Rich. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Nick, how are you doing tonight?
All right.
Well, if they had those fines for my parents when I turned 15, they'd be in bankruptcy court because I missed a couple, two days a week. Well, one day a week, maybe two on some days.
Wow.
Back then, I was a gearhead,
mm-hmm.
and I was into cars, and I bought a 57 Chevy, and I was rebuilding it because I was close to my driver's 16 to get my license.
Yeah.
And my counselor was my homeroom teacher and the truant officer.
Oh, wow. Oh,
you know, so he was a gearhead, too.
Yeah. Oh, you okay. Know, so, that's good.
So if I didn't show up, he'd drive by our house, and if the car was backed out of the garage, he'd come up and ask me what I got done on it, you know. And I was not a horrible student,
right?
But it's kind of like I was bored, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't interest me.
Yeah.
And I'm old enough where back then, if you could work with your hands, you could make a living.
Right. Exactly. I know what you mean.
You know,
yeah.
So, like my counselor says, you know, I really hate to tell you this, but I mean, during that summer, I'd gotten a job at an auto dealership and was working as a mechanic making $7 an hour. And he told me, he says, you know, I really hate to say this to a student, but you might be better off dropping out and going to night school because you've got a job that's got a career ahead of you.
Yeah, you got a future with it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Back then, cars were mechanical and you could work on them.
Right.
You know, now you got to go to school to learn how to work on computers so you can, you know, figure out what's wrong with your car.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah, so, that's true. But that's pretty funny that I love that your truant officer would just drive by the house and go, "What'd you get done on the Chevy today?"
Yeah, and you know, I mean, he had a 64 GTO, so
oh,
we compared cars.
And
when I finally got it working, the first day of school I skipped, and we went out, and he skipped school too, and we went out and kind of played with him. But
that's fantastic.
I did eventually graduate. I would have been class of 74, but after 3 years of working at a dealership, I joined the Army and got my high school diploma in the Army. So
okay, all right,
I found something that was interesting.
But, all right,
yeah, I had the coolest. I had the coolest counselor and truant officer I think ever on the planet.
Oh, there's no question about it. There's no way that anybody could top that story with a counselor / truant officer who just comes by your house and goes, "Glad you worked on the car today instead of going to school." I don't think anybody has ever had that experience before. I think that's unique to you. That's a great story, Rich.
Yeah. Thank you. Maybe that's why I still drive a truck. Who
there
knows?
You go. That's why. I mean, hey, listen, it's part of your blood, man. I think it's in your blood.
Yeah.
All right, Rich. Thanks for the call, man.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Take care. See ya. Isn't that hilarious, Dan? Yeah, my truant officer would just come by and see how far I've worked on the car. Far I skipped school to work on the car. I think that's great. That's funny. Hey, we got a bunch of texts coming in. We're talking about being late and truant at school. What was it like? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. The news is coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man. Wildcard Wednesday continues. Christina requesting a little Slim Whitman with Indian Love Call. I remember there was a time when watching TV, like in the 70s, there would be tons of commercials for Slim Whitman albums. I don't know why there was a push to have people, you know, call an 800 number or send a check to get some Slim Whitman collections, but it was a staple on local, you know, UHF television. If they went to a commercial like during the Honeymooners, there'd be a Slim Whitman commercial for like Slim Whitman's greatest hits. I'm not sure why, but that was a thing. 70s were weird. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We have been talking about being a truant truant students at school. Arlington Heights is considering ticketing the parents of chronically truant school students. And we've been talking about what it was like for you in school. Were you late? Did you skip school a lot? Did you have a truant officer who was also a gearhead who would who would not worry about you skipping school as long as you worked on your Chevy? I think that only applies to Trucker Rich, but we got some texts here. 301 area code says, "I skipped a class once, and then I saw the teacher in the hallway. He didn't say anything, but I felt incredibly guilty, and I never skipped class again." Aw. 815 area code, "The crazy thing is that days off from school were because of farming. Winter break was for hunting and cleaning tools. Spring break was for plowing and planting. Summer break was to work the farm. Easter break was a Catholic holiday." Did farmers go to school at all? I mean, that sounds like the entire, like every every season there was a time not to go to school.
I mean, that's happening now.
Yeah, it's true. Winter break was for hunting and cleaning tools. You would only clean your tools in the winter? Hmm. Susan says in high school, you had to bring a note in from one of your parents if you missed a day. That was in the late 60s. I think that was the case when I went to grade school. I don't remember. 773 area code says, my mom was a Cubs fan and she always let us skip school for opening day in the 60s and early 70s. You know, now that I think about it, not only did they at Hamilton allow us to skip school if we came back the next day with a ticket, but I think they let us skip school if we came back the next day with a note from our parents saying it's okay that he skipped school to watch the Cubs. See, Esmeralda, we were just blocks away from Wrigley and the Cubs were a priority when we were kids. So it's over your education. Don't care about your education. We live near Wrigley. We're Cubs fans. You can skip school on opening day. yeah. So, and there were no night games back in those days either. So if you wanted to watch the Cubs, it was the daytime. There were no night games. Night games didn't start at Wrigley till 1988. So the entire time that I lived in that neighborhood from infancy to when I was 18, no lights at Wrigley. There were never night games there. So if you wanted to see a Cub game, it was during the day. And if it was a weekday, you would have to skip school. And that was important. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number on WGN. All right, now, Esmeralda, your schedule when you went to school, you had a normal lunch time, right? Like a normal lunch break time?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So Lane Tech, that's where my father went. That's where Patty went to high school. That's where, right across the street, was where the fantastic Noggle's Tacos used to be. And west of it was where the Forge Steakhouse used to be, which is what we were talking about before. And of course, Heroes Subs was across the street. They are defending its early lunch hour. And other CPS kids are eating lunch as early as 9:15 on some days. An increase in students in other Chicago high schools, like William Howard Taft High School, have led to lunch periods that begin before 10 a.m. That's crazy. That's crazy. This is from Block Club Chicago, this piece about earlier lunch hours all over the place. And the CPS is eating lunch. Some CPS students are eating lunch at 9:15. Now, Dan, this is crazy. Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean it's pretty nuts. I mean, reading the article, there's various reasons for it, but yeah, it does seem that there's, you would figure, be a better way.
Yeah, a better way to get it done. Now in the school that Eileen teaches at, do they have what's the earliest lunchtime that they have?
You know, I don't know, but I think it's 10, 11.
Mm. Let's see. Lunch at 9:50 a.m. We had to do it, the Lane Tech High School officials told parents critical of the new time, because an influx of new students were too much for the school's cafeteria to handle. A new lunch period also opens up more flexibility for electives, the school said. What's more, Lane's not the only Chicago school sending some kids to lunch before 10 a.m., the school noted to parents. On Friday, Block Club reported Lane Tech administrators are adding a new lunch period that begins at 9:50 for the upcoming school year. Parents and students were unhappy with how early the new lunch was, saying that school should really call it a new breakfast period instead. Lane Tech and Chicago Public Schools do not respond to questions about why the new lunch period was added, but students and parents at the school suspected it was because the administrators had accepted an unprecedented number of freshmen for this academic year. On Saturday afternoon, Lane Tech administrators sent an email to parents to address the addition of the new morning lunch period, which they said is an attempt to address quote, a growing issue for the last few years. There are two main reasons we are adding the lunch periods, it goes on to say. One, our class sizes have increased over the last few years, and we need more seats available in the cafeteria. Current numbers are 12th grade equals 1,126, 10th grade 1,152, and 9th grade 1,159. We want to ensure that students have a place to eat in our student lunchroom. Two, it allows more flexibility in our programming of classes, the email said. Lane is a selective enrollment high school that allows its upperclassmen to eat off campus, to eat lunch off campus. So only upperclassmen can eat off campus at Lane. I didn't know that. The message to parents also said Lane administrators had received complaints from students over the years because the school was limited in how it could schedule elective courses in relation to the previously established lunch periods. By adding a new lunch period at 9:50 a.m., the school hopes students will have more access to the classes they want to take. While we know this is new to our students, it's not new to Lane, as several years ago Lane had a similar schedule. We encourage students to bring snacks and eat between classes if they need. We thank our students for being flexible with the new schedule. It is truly designed to meet their needs. This is what the email said. The email from Lane Tech administrators also said, while they were researching their decision to add a 9:50 lunch, they also saw that other CPS schools offer lunch periods at similar times, but parents weren't satisfied with Lane Tech's justification of the new early lunch hour. Just because there is a precedent and other schools have similar schedules does not mean it's a good idea. There is a precedent for all sorts of bad initiatives for education. It doesn't mean that they should be continued, said Mickey Lasur, who is a parent of a Lane Tech student assigned to a third period lunch. As for the increase in class size, Lane is a selective enrollment school, and they determine the number of students that they accept. They need to ensure that they can adequately accommodate the students they accept into the school. That makes sense. That makes sense. But, yeah, I don't know, man. 9:50 for lunch? That seems nuts to me. And then, you know, you'd be by 2 o'clock, you'd want to have more to eat, don't you think? Like if you're eating at nine,
no, for sure.
Like around 2 o'clock, you're going to be, you know. And they said they encourage kids to bring food. So what are they going to be eating in the classrooms?
Wolfing something down in the locker, you know, at your locker between
in the hallway between classes.
I was talking to a listener, so I didn't catch. Did they say what time the day starts for them? Like in terms of the school.
I'm sorry?
Like, when is opening bell? Is it?
It doesn't say. But, I mean, I would imagine I'm trying to remember when opening bell was when I went to school. Was it like, I think it was like 7:45, maybe?
We were 7:50, yeah.
Yeah, 7:50, 7:45. Esmeralda, do you remember what time you started school?
It was something like that.
Yeah. So you start at 7:50, and then an hour and 20 minutes later, you're eating lunch. That's ridiculous. Now, the other CPS schools have early lunch as well. CPS did not respond to a question about how many high schools in the district have lunch before 10 a.m. A report published last December by CPS to promote excellence in school nutrition said that the district has more than 380,000 students that need to be fed every single day. Over the course of the year, we serve 43 million lunches at 27 million breakfasts, totaling 70 million meals to these students. By the time a student graduates, they will have consumed about 4,000 school meals, the report said. That's why it's so important to ensure all meals are nutritious. Studies have consistently shown a powerful connection between health and academic achievement. Healthy, active, and well-nourished students are more likely to attend school, be engaged, and be ready to learn. Okay. The district also adopted a new CPS local school wellness policy in June of 2017. The policy says lunches should be served between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. in accordance with annual scheduling guidance issued by the Department of Teaching and Learning. Miriam Prater, an incoming senior at Westinghouse College Prep High on Franklin Boulevard in East Garfield Park, says her school's earliest lunch period begins around 9:50 as well. Westinghouse has 1,238 students currently enrolled and, like Lane, is a selective enrollment high school. We're a relatively small school compared to Lane, but we have four lunch periods, and they're spread out throughout four periods. Unlike Lane, Westinghouse doesn't have an open campus. While she personally hasn't been assigned to a 9:50 lunch, she has friends who have, and she sees them bring extra food to school because once their lunch is over, they have to wait about five more classes before the day is over to eat a full meal again. So they're going to bring extra food because they can't survive on just a third period lunch, Prater says. Some teachers at Westinghouse are okay with students eating a snack in class, but it really depends on the type of class and the teacher. I know one of my teachers, his policy was really, really good. You could only have healthy food in the class, but it also depends on which room you're in. So if you're in the chemistry room or a science room, there's no food at all in there. But in a language class, there's a more lenient policy. So wait, so the teachers are saying you can't eat this and you can't eat that in the class? You can only eat healthy stuff? Somebody's chowing down on a Snickers, are they going to get a detention? Yeah. We never had I just don't remember my schedules. We had a weird, you know, if you look up an old... if you look up an old Luther North schedule, like what it was, so weird and confusing. It wasn't like they had these things called quads, I think, were they called? Maybe somebody who went to Luther North like around the time I went from 79 to 83, and they had the schedule was just really weird. They had made up like these time frames, and the schedule, if you looked at your schedule, it looked like a puzzle of some kind. Like you're trying to figure out, wait a minute, I'm what class am I in here? And they split the time frames into like 15 minute time periods, I think. And you were in a class for like 3 15 minute time periods, and then you'd switch over to this. And I think they were called quads, like the time period. Now, your schedule, Dan, was it just like a regular, here's your schedule from 1:30 to 2, to, you know, to 1:30 to 2:15, you're in this class, blah, 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 so forth.
Right, right. Yeah, it was, you know, because the school day started at 7:50, the, you know, next period would be start at 9 o'clock, because it would go 7:50 to 8:50, and then you get a few minutes to run back to your classroom, things like that. I forget right. what the you know, and then eventually it all shaked out because we had very short. Did you have a combination lunch and homeroom?
No.
We had a combination lunch and homeroom. So that was one period during the day.
Oh, I see.
20 minutes to eat your lunch and then.
And that's when your homeroom would happen?
Well, and then you'd get 20 minutes to be in homeroom.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I see. Yeah, I don't remember, but we had it. It was just the setup was unique. I think the setup, the schedule, the way they scheduled it, and how they figured out the timeline, and they used this term called quads or something like that. I think that was unique to Luther North.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
And it was weird. I remember I remember when incoming students would, like new students would come in, they'd go, "What the hell is this?" They'd get their schedule and look, and we were used to it, you know, like after freshman year, like halfway through freshman year, you're like, okay, I get the quads, I get the time system. And I may be getting the terms wrong, I'm not sure, because, you know, obviously I went to school a long time ago. But if anybody is a Luther North graduate and you remember the weird scheduling that they did, just very odd scheduling, and these things called quads or whatever time periods they called, and you, if you looked at your schedule, it just didn't look like a regular schedule. Like, you go this way, and it was just weird. Texters and callers said it was called modules at Luther North. Okay, so maybe, modules. Well, quads, I think quads maybe were your, like, a detention.
Quads would make sense because it's a quarter of an hour.
Yeah, well, I guess. I don't know. But they're saying modules. I don't know why the word quad is stuck in my head. But if anybody else, you know, has this strange sort of memory about the very unusual and weird scheduling process that used to happen at Luther North, I'd love to hear from you. But it always turned out that lunchtime was at a regular time. Again, we were a small school, so we didn't have to accommodate 9,000 kids. So, all right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and we'll talk more about this. If anybody was a Luther North graduate or went to school around the time I did and has a more clear remembrance of the weirdness of the time schedule, you can give us a call at 312-981-7200. And what do you guys think about this? Kids eating at 9:15 in the morning or 9:50, and that's supposed to be their lunch. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's sometimes you got to do that to accommodate what's happening. Yeah, so I just think it's weird. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back after this. Lisa requested Parliament Flashlight.
Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday.
Oh, it's a sad reason why she requested Flashlight by Parliament, because she's been without power since 9:30 p.m. last night due to the storms. So she needs a flashlight. Oh. Lisa, I hope the power comes back on soon. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We were talking about some school stuff here. You know, the Lane Tech is starting an early lunch hour as early as before 10 a.m. some of these some of these lunches are taking place. So we're talking about that and scheduling. 312-981-7200. 262 area code says, junior and senior year, I never went to school on Wednesdays. What? So for 2 years, you skipped Wednesday every week? How is that possible? Robert says, I feel bad for those teachers and the truant students. Those parents should be forced to bring those kids to class and stay there with them. Like, don't go to your job. Sit here and learn the metric system. Wait a minute. We don't teach the metric. America rejected the metric system, if I remember correctly.
Slipping to Canada there?
Well, we were taught the metric system when I was in school. Because that was at the time when they wanted to switch over to the metric system. So, and it's not, you know, to be taught the metric system shouldn't take very long. Because the metric system is easy. So it shouldn't take very long. But we had metric system classes. Because there was this push to get switched over to the metric system. This was in the 70s. And then it was just like, and it was, they really wanted to switch this over to the metric system. And it was one of those deals where like Americans were like, I don't want to learn no damn metric system. And then we rejected, Americans en masse rejected the metric system. But that was an actual thing we had to learn when I was in school. 708 area code says, my kids went to Luther in 2012 and they had normal 45-minute classes. If you were tardy, you'd get a $5 fine. They didn't offer lunch. You had to bring your own. Well, when I went back to Luther to sit in on a class with my favorite teacher, I want to say that was like 2011, maybe 2012. They didn't have a kitchen anymore. They just had vending machines. And I was kind of shocked. And they had many less students than they had. I mean, by the time Luther closed, I think their enrollment was down for the full school, for the entire school, like 250 students for the whole school. And I think they were bringing in middle schoolers because they weren't using tons of rooms. It's a small school anyway, but a lot of it was just being wasted. There was no rooms. There were rooms that were not being used and they weren't generating enough money. They were going to close down a few years before they actually did. They closed 2 years ago and they were going to close down a few years before that, but then they did the whole middle school thing, kept them open for a few more years. But when I went back, and we had the lunch break, and I went to the cafeteria, the cafeteria was like a third full. There was no kitchen. The kitchen was completely closed off, and they had vending machines in the hallway where you would normally line up with your tray to get food. Those were all vending machines now, and I was freaked out. Like, it's weird to go back, and see such a massive difference when you go back to your high school. But yeah, so back then they didn't. At that point the kitchen was closed. They couldn't afford the staff because they had a full staff, you know. So Nick's 224 says, Nick, it wasn't unique to Luther. We had modular scheduling too at Evanston Township High School in the 60s. Yeah, I guess it was called modular. So mods then instead of quads. That's why I'm thinking mods. It's mods, you know, like Quadrophenia. That's not going to screw everything up. Quadrophenia mods. That's a Who reference, by the way. John says, all four of us kids went home for lunch. Classes were called periods here in Indiana, and they had this, and they did have some early times. You can't give whiskey to a kid. See what I did there? See that? All right. Early times, it's a name of a... Okay. Let's take a break for the news. Wildcard Wednesday. Esmeralda, this was dedicated to you.
Aw, thanks.
From Paul. So Paul requested the Monkees Daydream Believer for Esmeralda on this Wildcard Wednesday morning. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 312-981-7200. Yeah. So we were talking about early school lunches and scheduling issues and things like that. Dan, did you take extra classes when you were in school?
Yes.
So what was your schedule like, at its busiest? How many classes were you taking?
Basically it was just one extra one because
one extra?
It was your study that you could insert that class into.
Mm-hmm.
So Yeah, it was, so our school day was 7:50 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, you know, as I mentioned, we had the one period, which was the combination lunch, homeroom, and then the rest were all classes. So
right.
7, I think, altogether.
We had the same exact schedule. I'm pretty sure we had the same exact schedule, like 7:50 to 3, or maybe 2:45, something to that effect. But I guess you could take extra. Now, did you take classes in the summer? Did you ever go?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
You know, it was my mom, being a teacher, you know, realized that if they were good to add repetition and get exposure to it, you know, it's the concept between people who believe that it should now be year round. Schooling, you know, we talked a little bit about the school year is antiquated because we're not farming anymore.
Right.
The other issue is that air conditioning, thankfully, a lot of places now, a lot more places have air conditioning. Unfortunately, there's still schools that don't have it. So those were two of the things. And then the interesting thing about the year-round schooling is that you're actually out of school the same amount of days than the current model is. So if you're
is that right?
Yeah. Because what they do is they still give you a 2-week break around the holidays in December.
Right.
And you get an extra, you extended spring and fall break, and you still get a month in the summer. So you're not actually gaining anything one way or the other.
Gotcha.
Going through the thing. But the theory is that just having that exposure more often, you know, that we've read studies in the past that the surest way to keep a habit is to make sure you do it the first day, the second day, third day. And if you, for whatever reason, have dropped it, if you do it again the fifth day, you're more likely to pick it up again. So the same type of thing here, that even if there's more time off in between, you know, the semester, so to speak, if you're still getting exposed to it, you're more likely to remember it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. But you bring up the air conditioning thing. We didn't have air conditioning in either. If I remember correctly, I don't think we had air conditioning at Luther either. Maybe we did. I don't remember. But I know we didn't at Hamilton. I know we didn't. We were, the last year, my eighth grade, my home classroom, because we didn't, you know, when I went to grammar school, we wouldn't switch rooms to go to classes. Everything was taught in one room, except for a couple of things. Well, we got to go to Esmeralda for a traffic update. What's going on, Esmeralda?
Yeah, just want to update you on the I-88 crash. This was actually, I spoke to officials. It's on the westbound side of I-88. This crash is west of Peace Road, and all lanes are blocked there. This is like in the DeKalb area. So a little farther west, but it's going to take a minute just because the car is in the ditch. So they have to have crews go in there and grab that car out of the ditch.
Okay. All right. We'll keep you updated on all that. Esmeralda will keep you posted. She's following everything in the hut, in the traffic hut. But so my Hamilton is three stories. And I remember eighth grade, my homeroom class was on the third floor, and it was, I don't know, you know, the spring of 1979, like right before I graduated. I don't know if it was particularly hot, but I just remember it was miserable in our classroom. And we were on the third floor, and the gym was on the third floor. And we had gym every day. And so, you know, gym, I remember just like sweating like a pig during gym. And we didn't have showers or anything like that. Whatever clothes you wore is what you took your gym class in.
That's interesting, too, because obviously heat rises. And
yeah,
you put it in the room where everybody is doing physical activity the most and retains that heat more than other places because of the lack of windows.
That's where our graduation was, too. That's where our graduation ceremony was, in the gym. And again, that was in, you know, like June of 79. And I remember it being really, really, they had giant fans in the back of the gymnasium, you know, but there were no air conditioning. There was no air conditioning at all. You know what was air conditioned, though? Was
teacher's lounge.
I don't know. I'm not sure if the teacher's lounge was. I know the teacher's lounge at Luther was. I do know that. But no, it was, were the newfangled mobile classes that were outside in the trailer. You know, sure. You know how they put the trailers out there?
Yeah.
And I remember we, because when I, you know, about maybe sixth grade was when the trailer showed up. When I was in sixth grade, it was a whole new thing at that time. Like in the 70s, like we've got trailers now, mobile homes where we can have classrooms if we need to add classes and you know, and add students and stuff. And this became a CPS thing. And it was brand new, like in 76, maybe 77, 76. And I remember I never had any classes that in the trailers though. I didn't have any homeroom or any classes there. Never experienced it. Went in one time, went in the trailer one time, air conditioned. So like in the summer, you were happy to be in the trailers. And I remember there was for some reason, there was like a backlash against these trailers. I'm not sure I don't remember the specifics, but I remember parents were kind of up in arms about them. Maybe they didn't like the fact that the kids were not in the school. Maybe they just didn't like the idea of them being stuck in a trailer or being stuck in a mobile.
They are a little weird looking.
Yeah.
We had some.
Did you?
I think, yeah, because it was overpopulation.
Right.
At one point, and then they had to build more rooms and stuff. But yeah. I think that's what it is. It's like, oh, you're just shoving my kid into a trailer.
I guess that's what the logic was, why people complained back then. I don't remember the specifics, but I remember there being kind of an uproar about it. And in the, you guys ever seen, you guys never seen the movie 187, right, with Samuel Jackson?
No.
I have, yes.
Okay, you have. He teaches in one of those trailers in that movie. And those are like the worst kids. In that movie, they put the gangbangers and the worst kids in the trailers. So I don't know if that was something that they did specifically at that time, which caused some sort of like prejudice or uproar about that. But yeah, and Esmeralda, you should see 187. It's a really great movie, like a really, really great movie. And it's the best Samuel L. Jackson performance of all time. And that's saying something considering he's made 614 movies. because he's in every other movie that gets released each year, but he's amazing in it. And it's a really, it's not a, don't you, if you, well, you, Esmeralda, you, it's a downer though. I want to tell you this right now. It doesn't end on a very happy note. I know you hate that stuff, but I would want to warn you ahead of time that you might want to be in a specific mood if you're going to watch it, because it does not have a happy ending at all. So just keep that in mind. But yeah, so those the mobile trailer units had air conditioning in them. So, and did they still have those? They got them, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I remember it was such a radical thing. You know, back when I was in grade school, it was like, what are you talking about? You're going to do what? And it took up some of the playground area, and we were upset about that because it was less playground. You know, there was less playground area to play sock ball. And we were up. You guys have never heard of sock ball, right?
I mean, I was told that you just roll a sock up into a ball so you could play baseball and other things with it.
Yeah, exactly right.
You couldn't borrow one from the gym?
Well, we used to bring them
from
home.
Sounds like an awfully high climb to go to the gym at Nick's school.
We used to bring them from home. We would make sock balls. This was a thing. This is an actual thing. We would get socks and roll them up, put rubber bands around them, and then put another sock over it and sew it up and then bring it to school, and you would actually pitch it and you'd play baseball with it and use your hand to hit the sock ball. This was something we played every single day. We played sock ball every single day at Hamilton.
And I thought my recess was lame.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't lame. Sock ball was awesome. Apparently. Sock ball ruled. It was baseball without bats. And we used a sock, and if you put a ton of rubber bands on it, it would go farther. Like if you put a bunch of rubber bands around it, you put another sock on top of it, it would get rid of your old sort of holey socks. If you had holes in your socks, you just make a sock ball out of it. And there were certain kids whose mom would help out making the socks really well, and those kids were always like they had the best sock balls. And it was a thing. I don't know if people remember this or not, if it's something that, again, maybe exclusive to the knuckleheads who lived near Wrigley Field and played outside at Hamilton, in Hamilton in the schoolyard. But we used to play sock ball. And we played it every, for years, and we played it every day. and we would like compare, like some kids would bring their sock balls in and we would look at them and just judge like whose sock ball was the best, and we would use it for the game. And there'd be 2-3 sockball games going on at once, like all over the schoolyard.
There's YouTube videos how to make a sockball.
It's a real thing, man. It's a real thing. It was huge when I went to grade school. Huge in the 70s. It was all we did. And even after school or on Saturdays, we would go to the schoolyard, walk to the schoolyard, so we can play sockball. Yeah, it's a real thing. And for, I know there are probably people out there reacting like you, Esmeralda, like, what the hell? But it was a thing that kids played in the 70s on a regular basis and loved it. Dan, did you ever play sockball?
Never played it. Heard about it, but never played it.
Yeah. Okay, it was exclusive, I think. It was very, very exclusive to the 70s. Again, the 70s were really weird, but we were sewing socks together, putting rubber bands around them and playing baseball and hitting. Instead of a bat, we would have our hands and we'd smack the ball with our hands like it was our bat. And I used to actually, when I would go up to bat, I would hold my elbow like it was a bat. I would hold my elbow with my hand up. And I had advantage because I was a switch hitter. I could hit with either hand. All right. Sockball, man, the best. They should bring it back. Let's bring sockball back.
Were you doing a lot of lefty-righty matchups in the sockball?
Oh, yeah, man. I don't even play around. And we took it very seriously. It was a serious thing. We should bring sockball back. Get the kids outside. Get them away from their little laptops and their computers and their discs.
Hey, WGN Radio, I know that we have the softball team. It's been a long-time tradition here, but we got a different idea for you folks. Let's call the other radio stations up in town.
That's right. Let's get the sockball tournament going.
We got a ringer here.
That's right. That's right. I am a pro. I am a pro veteran. I am in the Hall of Fame of sockball.
Where is that located?
Cooperstown. It's right down the street.
It's an annex.
It's right down the street. You have to. It's a couple blocks away from the actual Hall of Fame.
Were you really disappointed that they wouldn't allow you to enter into the real?
Yeah,
baseball
I thought
Hall
the real.
Fame?
I thought, yeah, and you know what? They wouldn't let us play a sockball game on the field. Mm. That was very upsetting. We had to go.
Was that the year that
we because we played on cement. We would feel uncomfortable. We played on cement. We played in a playground on cement.
Was that the year that you broke the home run record and a lot of people were questioning things and that's the reason they wouldn't let you in?
Yeah, that and because of that controversy, there's an asterisk next to me and in the current Sockball Hall of Fame.
The new elastic socks that just
We got the socks from the hospital that help your circulation.
Mm.
Those socks, we use those, and that's an advantage. That's like juicing in the majors. All right. And if they found, and also, I don't know if you know this or not, Dan, the other controversy about me was they found cork in my hand.
Wow.
My hand was corked. Much like the Sammy Sosa controversy. So,
were you caught climbing through the air ducts to try to catch it, like Joey Bell?
Yeah. Ridiculous. Anyway, but sockball was a real thing. It was a grand tradition in the Chicago public school system, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know if people listening have ever played it, but there you go. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back. We are going to talk about miniature golfing, which was also a fun thing to do after you played sockball. Sockball, more fun, though. All right, we'll take a break. Welcome back, everybody. That might sound familiar to you. Peter in Decatur requesting for Wildcard Wednesday. It's Ella Fitzgerald's Street Beater, which is the Sanford and Son theme song. So there you go. Good old Sanford and Son. Wildcard Wednesday. Wildcard Wednesday, yeah! Wildcard Wednesday! 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Yeah, we were talking about sockball, which was a very, very popular game in the 70s that we used to play.
This just in from the 2248 code. In the movie Pele, there's a scene where the kids steal a bunch of laundry, including socks, to make a soccer ball.
They make a soccer ball?
They make a soccer ball out of socks.
Oh, okay. That's not what we did. We played... ours was about the size of a baseball.
But it's precedent.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Chuck or Rich also called in, Rich called in, and he said that the big thing with the trailer homes was that there was asbestos found in them.
Oh, boy.
And so there was People were worried okay. about the kids.
All right.
And then 773 says, Dear Nick, I taught at a Genoa middle school in 1979 just outside of Sycamore. They had one of those mobile trailers because of overcrowding. We called it the Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah. It was weird. It was a big deal when they have two of them at Hamilton. They had two of them. They installed two of them and everybody went up nuts. So, but yeah. So did you play tag when you were a kid in the playground?
Tag. Yeah.
Freeze tag.
There was,
dodgeball. Did you play dodgeball?
Dodgeball was actually part of gym class.
That was part of gym class for us, too.
Right.
Do you play that game where you had to, what was it called? It was a dodgeball ball, and you would throw it at people's feet, and you'd be in that square?
Yes, that's why I hesitated. I was just trying, I'm like, what is it called?
Oh, I have no idea.
It was a square. It was four square.
Is it four square? Is that what you, four square.
Yeah, four square.
Yeah, four square.
There would be long lines. To get to play.
Yeah, Foursquare is a popular game, still. There are adults who play in Foursquare tournaments. That's like a real thing.
I hated it, because people would always do that one where you would bounce it right by the line, a very low bounce.
Yeah.
You'd have to have really good reflexes to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, always get me.
Oh, no.
I'd be in 5 minutes.
And that would be it.
End of the line.
How long did you last in dodgeball?
I usually hung out in the back.
Yeah.
So I would stay for a little bit. But I usually wasn't. I wasn't into it because I couldn't really throw that well. Or they would just catch it.
Yeah, so. that's the thing. Like if you don't gun it at their heads, they're going to catch it. That's
Yeah, but you can't gun it at their head. That doesn't count.
What do you mean?
If it hits their, you can't, if it hit their head, it wouldn't, that doesn't count.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it had to be like.
Not when I played.
I think because they were trying not to have kids aim at people's heads.
No, that's not how we played, man, at all. We would gun it at your skull and try to knock your head off. That's how we played.
I mean, you are also hitting people with.
Hot Wheels tracks.
Hot Wheels tracks. Right. So, I wouldn't put it past you.
Oh, no, but this was just not me. This was every time in school, every time we played, people were gunning for your head. Not just me. That's how I gunned for people's head because it was retaliation for getting gunned at my head. Yeah, that was definitely not a rule. That was definitely not a rule when we played dodgeball. The objective was to smash somebody in the skull. That was the objective. So, all right. We're going to take a break here for the news. And then after the news, our good buddy Rick Kogan wrote a piece in the Chicago Tribune remembering Gus Bosnos, who was the Par King creator, and he made miniature golf magic. I think that would be a nice segue going from, sock ball to miniature golf. And talk a little bit about this guy's history and then about some of the other novelty places that you've gone to. So, and your favorite ones. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Wildcard Wednesday will continue, and the news is coming up next. Wildcard Wednesday continues. Nick DiGilio here. Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah! Paul requesting Jermaine Stewart with We Don't Have to Take Our Clothes Off. But you can drink cherry wine. That sounds delightful. All right, Jermaine Stewart. That was his one hit, if I'm not mistaken. It was a big hit, but that was his one hit. Unless he did a follow-up called Cherry Wine. I don't know. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6. For your morning drive on this Wednesday morning, 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us or talk sockball, whatever you prefer. So we're here until 5 o'clock. Now, we mentioned a little bit earlier on, Dan, that our listener, I believe her name was Lisa, requested Flashlight by Parliament because her power has been out since 9:30 last night because of the weather. You know, I keep in touch with my ex Heather, and she's coming to town. She's coming to Chicago, to hang out for a little couple of days, and then her mom, who still lives here, my ex-mother-in-law, who still lives in the Chicago area, they're going to go up to Detroit because my ex-brother-in-law, her brother, Ryan, is getting married this weekend. Just like your wife's sister is getting married this weekend. On the same day, in fact. So,
are they getting married to each other?
I don't think so.
Okay. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, that's... Welcome to the early morning soap opera. As the dial turns. So, but I wanted...
There's that big controversy regarding the sockball tournament.
It's going to make its way into the soap opera.
Nick got hurt.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden his twin brother showed up. And
that's right.
Who has cork in his hand.
That's right. Mm,
shady.
He was the one with the cork in his hand, not me.
He also has a mustache.
Just a mustache?
Yeah, to tell you apart.
Well, I see, that's always a problem in Movember then.
And then on a very special episode, Steve Perry showed up and showed him how to shave it off.
By the way, I looked on the website, Dan, because Dan is the one who basically does all the work on the show. I'm just a monkey who talks into a microphone. So I just want everybody to know that whenever the show sounds good, it's all because of Dan, and Dan does all the work, and I'm an idiot. So, but Dan puts all the podcasts together and separates them, usually by topic of what we're talking about. And so yesterday we were talking about big 80s, you know, power ballads. And we were talking, particularly, we talked a little bit about Journey and Faithfully. By the way, you know what Journey song we didn't mention yesterday that I completely forgot about?
Open Arms.
Open Arms. How do you not, when you're talking about power ballads and Journey, how do you not talk about Open Arms? I mean, come on. Anyway, so Dan posts up links to all of the podcasts at WGNRadio.com and then usually puts a picture to accompany it. Like, we had Jim Ryan on yesterday to talk about music, so there's a picture of Jim Ryan and the description of the podcast. And then my favorite one was 80s power ballads. That was the topic of the podcast, and the picture accompanying it was Steve Perry with shaving cream just on his mustache as he's shaving his mustache. That's the picture that Dan used.
It's great because that's also the one that they use on YouTube. Like if you search for the video, that's the picture that comes up.
Oh, that's hysterical. That's hilarious. Because they know what a pivotal moment in music history it is.
Oh, he's even got the, you know, that stretch, the mouth stretch.
Yeah, because he's got to get that mustache. He's got to get that whole mustache off. You got to move your lip around. So, anyway, so my ex-wife, okay, she's okay, here's the deal. We were talking about the weather and Lisa, you know, having power out since 9:30 last night. My wife, my ex-wife, Heather, who was posting some stuff on Facebook, and then I jumped in to talk to her. She left Medford, Oregon, where she lives, 9.5 hours ago. 9.5 hours ago, and she just got into a Lyft at O'Hare. She just got into a Lyft. So it took her 9.5 hours to get here from Oregon. They had to stop off, and they had to land the plane and stop off, and they were in Indianapolis for a long time and all this other stuff, and it took, with all the waiting and everything, 9.5 hours. And if I recall correctly, she was on the tarmac at O'Hare for like an hour and a half and finally got into a Lyft. Left 9.5 hours ago to get here.
She should have just gotten off the plane at Indianapolis and drove up.
Oh, my God. Rented a car and drove up, maybe? Yeah.
Would have been less.
Yeah. So, I mean, but that's so your travel times are, you know, have not been good. So I for anybody who did air traveling over the past 24 hours, I'm sorry, or the past 12 hours when the storms really started. Like around 6 o'clock last night is when the storms really started. Then they really started going nuts around 9:30 last night. So, anyway, that was the plight of my ex-wife. she's staying with a friend. She's not even at that friend's house yet. Medford, Oregon, you know, at 9.5 hours ago. That's a fun trip, don't you think, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds
fantastic. They should market it.
Good Lord. All right.